Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. I am so excited to talk about episode 10 and preview episode 11 with one of my favorite people that to have on any podcast, Jake O'Kane, the icon from season 45 of Survivor. Jake, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Tag. I appreciate you having me on. We got such a good tribal. I thought it was a good episode.
Probably we were blessed. The season,
so I'm hyped.
Yeah, we're blessed. That was such a good tribal. I do want to start off. This is not Survivor news, but this affects me to on a deeply personal level, and I'm not sure if you've heard the news. Deal or No Deal Island has been canceled for season 3. Jake, why didn't you save it personally? Like, what's going on here?
You know what? The budget, the Australian took way too much money. You know, they needed to put a cap on it. Like, how much did he get? Like, $4 million?
It was $5.8 million.
Like, it was just absurd.
Yeah.
$5.8 million. There's probably put, like, a cap on that. Like, it's not that hot of a... It's physically not that hot of a game, I think. Like, cap it at $1 million. I feel like that would have been huge, but I don't know. Like, people liked it, I thought.
I was a big fan. I was a big Dondi fan.
Like, I don't think my parents would talk to me about it. I feel like people who are outside of like the reality TV world didn't care.
Yeah, no, I posted a video about it and somebody commented being like, the fact that you have to explain what this is probably the reason why it was canceled. And I was like, yeah, I know. Let me mourn.
Yeah.
Let me mourn the loss of Dondi, the silly, goofy, fun little TV show that I love to put on in the background. We lost a real one, but we got a great episode. So we've got a lot to talk about. I feel like if you did not stick around, there are people on the internet who said, I'm done with this season. I can't watch it anymore. And then we are blessed with like 4 good episodes in a row. Did you feel like it was going to be Juwan at the beginning of the episode? Because I was kind of blindsided.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was going to be Juwan like at all going in. And it felt like he was in a good spot. Like going in, and I feel like anytime, because who went last week, Alex. Like I feel like anytime you step on the toes of a seemingly previous majority like that, that you always kind of want to double tap. Because I think it's always a good idea to double tap. Like you could think whatever season, like you know, here's Versus Villains. If you're gonna go after JT, the next step should be Amanda or someone else there. At bare minimum, you got to double tap. And so I think Juwan was always a surprise. I think that Steven winning immunity probably had something major to do with that. I think Steven's time might be numbered, and I love Steven, but I think his time is coming up soon. And just with the knowledge about the idol going around, I think there's a world where Jawan gets through this vote. I think it was just kind of very perfect circumstances for him to not.
Yeah, I totally
I think he
agree.
misplayed too. It wasn't just, you know, oh, poor Jawan. Like, he definitely misplayed here and there.
Exactly. And I will say, I'm gonna give myself a little self call for a second. So I don't I you're on chat PCC, right? So I have
I
a
have not, I'm on it, but I haven't like been on it.
you're a lurker? You're a chat PCC lurker?
I have not lurked as much as I have previously before. No, like I've posted on it. I've not been paying attention as much as
I
usual
get
in
it.
chat
I get it.
PCC, BBC.
I started like a smaller one for just like Survivor fans to just kind of like add in like whatever their thoughts are. And at 8:05, this is I'm so proud of myself. At 8:05, I said in the chat, I said, does anybody else think that this actually would be the right time for them to go after Sage and Jawan because they're in the middle and they're the ones who like whatever. I said that at 8:05, totally unspoiled about what's going on in the episode. I was so proud of myself by the end of it. I was like, man, can she see in the future? I was so excited. So that was a big moment for me. But yeah, I still was shocked that it happened. Like it was kind of I threw it out there as kind of a, wouldn't this be crazy? And then it happened.
It like they should, I think the three of like the major triumvirate there of Rizzo, Savannah, and Blue Sophie. I'm not saying Soph. Is anyone here saying Soph? Like, I'm sorry,
No,
I'm saying Blue Sophie and Yellow
I'm
Sophie.
saying I
But
usually actually would say Sophie with an I. I usually say Sophie with an I and Sophie with an E. So
okay.
I'm really saying crazy stuff. But yeah, Blue Sophie, yeah.
I think it's a great move for them. I think it's a great move for them. This way, like, Sage feels like she's on the outs. She just voted against who'd she vote against? Rizzo?
She voted
Who did she vote
against.
for?
She voted for Savannah. So I mean.
She voted for Savannah. Okay. So like Sage is kind of on the outs with that now as well. I feel like Christina and Steven are both on the outs now as well. Like, it's just such a good spot. Yellow Sophie probably feels like she's in a lot of control right now, but just given the firepower that the big three continue to have, like in terms of the idol and the knowledge is power still in the game, like it's difficult to see a world where, and also just based on the edit too, where they don't go the next at least two rounds, the three of them, in terms of staying in the game.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I also want to, this is kind of a side note. Everyone is loving your outfit. Everybody is saying Jake is looking dapper. And I need to make sure that everybody knows who are listening. Jake is dressed to the nines. He said, it's Tegwiz podcast. I must dress up.
Yes, it was also that hearing took way too long today, and it's my mother's birthday, so I'm at my parents' house right now, and I had to come straight from court to here. So, you know,
So
was a
for
lot. It was
those
court, it was my mom, and it was you, Tag. You know,
and
it was the three
obviously
big things that I needed to make sure that I dressed appropriately for.
well everybody I guess happy birthday Jake's mom yay wow that's huge we love a December birthday
Thanks,
my
guys.
mom's December 7th
Coming up,
but
happy future birthday to Tag's mom.
thank you so much I call it the grand birthday it's not your birthday but it's your grand birthday kind of but I do want to start off at this at the beginning of the episode here, because I think that Rizzo brought up an interesting point. He and the confessional, he said that Alex had to go because Alex was playing the middle, and Rizzo wants to be in the power position. And if you're playing the middle, if you're playing all the sides, you are, you know, in theory, in a power position. And then we see somebody else who was in the middle, Juwan, be taken out. Is then the next person on the hit list Sophie with an E because she is still in theory in the middle? Because are they just going after people who are playing the middle and people and not the people who are going to be, you know, targeted or have been targeted in the past?
So is it, do we think Sophie, Yellow Sophie is gone next as
Yeah,
well in terms
if
of?
with that, you know, with his thought process there of I need the people in the middle to be going out.
Yeah.
The only person who's playing the middle still left in the game is Sophie with an E.
I don't think there's a world, unless Steven wins immunity and like, or Christina wins immunity and the other one finds an idol, I don't see a world where Yellow Sophie goes next. I feel like there's already so much love lost against that with that OG Hina that I don't think that's getting rebuilt. I mean, I love the go after the middle, the old Rob Sesternino, Get Out, was with Christy, right? Get Out Christy. Like, I think when you go after the middle, you don't necessarily have to double tap the middle. And since this was a middle move, I think you can kind of go back to peeling off the edges like a Steven or a Christina. And then, like, we know that Sophie, Yellow Sophie's, is beatable by that group anyway. I don't think Sophie, and can I hype up Yellow Sophie for a second?
Absolutely.
I think on any other season, she is getting so much more airtime. I think it's very unfortunate that she's on a season with two Sophies, and the other Sophie just happened to go to a million tribal councils early on. And then I really like what she's had to say at tribal councils and in confessionals. Like, it's pretty like biting in a way where I feel like she is nailing social dynamics on the head when she's engaging, interesting to listen to. And I think it's such a bad season for her to be on, because I feel like more of the, everyone's saying, oh, Savannah is biting. She's very old school, and she is, and it's great. And I love it. And a huge Savannah fan. But I feel like if you put Yellow Sophie on any of the previous three seasons, she is a breakout star more than she already has been with getting, has she won one or two immunities?
So far, two.
She's won two with winning two immunities. Like, I've been a huge fan of her, we haven't seen enough of her, and I've been disappointed with the edit in that.
I totally agree. And I think that we don't often see people like fight against what Jeff says. It's kind of like a yes and Jeff. And so seeing that even during pre-jury, the infamous, diet food moment, I think that just kind of shows the energy and the kind of person that she brings, the game player that she brings. She's not afraid to say what she's actually thinking. She's not afraid to say the things that other people might be afraid of, and that's something that we need on TV. And I'm a huge, huge Sophie, Yellow Sophie fan. And we also saw, we also saw that a little bit this episode of people not being afraid of saying the things with Savannah, like you mentioned, Savannah and Christina moment, Savannah at tribal council, like Savannah and Jawan. She is another person who is not really, does not shy away from uncomfortable conversations. As somebody who has been out on, out on the island, how do you receive that? Somebody who is kind of intense, the intensity that kind of Savannah brings, is that something that you typically would want to play with, that kind of player? Or is her intensity something that, out there on the island that would turn some other people away from her alliance?
There's definitely some, like, it could definitely turn some people away. I do think the intensity, if someone is that intense, it's personally, at least for me, if they are that intense, it makes me feel like they're being honest with me. I feel like that level of intensity is tough to feign versus like pleasantries are very easy. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy to say, oh, hey, how are you doing? Everything going good? Like, small talk kind of language is very, like, I don't give a shit how you're doing. I don't care about your day. Versus, like, I'm here to win. Or, like that's a terrible example, but I'm sticking with my, like, I feel like there's some honesty there where the people who Savannah's against know Savannah's against them, but Savannah's allies are also, like, Savannah's got me. And I'm not worried about that. So yeah, I think if you're on her side, great. I think it's better to, I think everyone my season knew where D was. Like, it was very obvious. Like, D, at least in my perception, didn't feel like she was, kind of like, hey, maybe let's do this. It was just like, no, you're with me or you're not. And you can go home. And I think that can serve people very well, on the right season versus like people like maybe like a Venus gets like clipped because she's just not on the right season for that kind of energy.
Right. Exactly. And I think that bringing that kind of intensity, you're right. It's an authenticity that she brings. And I think that people really will respond well, especially if you're with me, then you're with me. And if you're against me, you're against me. And that's that kind of energy. But I think that's why this trio is so scary in a way. And they're so talked about and everybody is thinking about them because, not only do they have the manpower, they've got, they've been together for a while and they trust each other. So, so much, but they also have the toys. They've got the extra vote, which was used successfully in a way this week. We've got the idol, and then they don't even know the knowledge is power, right? So a lot of that, I think, builds into that, you know, she's able to play this with this intensity because she knows how strong the base of her alliance is. Mm. And then she's able to kind of rile other people up because she knows that she's able to go back to, or at least feels like she knows that she's able to go back to like a strong alliance. And I do think that we see this kind of playing sometimes with a really strong alliance, because I do think that brings a little bit of comfort. And we know that like comfort's not always good in Survivor. Like we even saw Rizzo say, I don't want to be too confident. You don't want to never want to be too confident in a plan. But I think that, you know, when you trust people, like it seems like they do, you're able to kind of do that. Do you agree with that sentiment of like, trust being on the building blocks of that game?
Yeah, there's definitely like you can definitely be more intense and like, you know, be more, I think there's more ability to be forward if you have a stable spot in the game and know where your footing is, which clearly they're aware of their footing. They're aware that it's a strong footing. So yeah, I think that is a good building block for her, and her to be able to express herself in that way. And you can see why Savannah's like back for 50, because she is so engaging in confessionals at tribal council. She's winning immunities. Like, yeah, call her back.
Exactly. So another interesting thing that had to do with an alliance, right, is we saw Sage tell Juwan about Christina's idol, because in the last episode, Steven told Sage about Christina's idol. Steven said, don't tell anybody. Sage then goes to tell Juwan about Christina's idol. And then Juwan tests Steven. Juwan says, hey, Steven, what do you think? You think anybody's got an idol out there? And Steven goes, no, nobody's got an idol. Christina definitely doesn't. And obviously this doesn't really matter because we see Juwan go out this episode. But do you think that this could affect Sage's and Steven's relationship moving forward, the not telling Juwan any information?
Yeah, it could definitely affect Steven and Sage's relationship going forward. Obviously, he told her not to tell anyone, and she did. I think that, you know, my thoughts after that conversation between Juwan and Steven in particular is that I think Juwan needs to be a little bit less offended by Steven not telling about his idol and just, like, take notes. You know, Steven, I don't think, is coming after Juwan in any way. Did he vote for Juwan tonight?
No, I think he was I think Christina was the one Rizzo vote, but I think he voted Savannah. I think Steven voted Savannah. Yeah. I could be wrong, but so, I think he voted Savannah.
I mean, clearly, like, him trying to, from what I heard from Juwan's exit interviews, I guess Sage was more aligned with Steven and Christina, and then he was felt more closer to like Rizzo and potentially Savannah. It's from what I got from his exit interviews. I mean, I don't think you can be that upset about someone not telling you about an idol, like when it's like, it sounds like he told one other person, it was someone else's information. I don't know. It's you gotta be able to forgive fast in the game, but I don't think you should forget, you know? So yeah. I think that probably played into his decision-making a little bit, where I don't think it should have.
I think, yeah, being able to forgive and then not forget, I think, is super key, especially in this condensed, like, shortened version of Survivor, right? You have another vote immediately after you vote somebody out. You have to be able to continue on. We even saw, like, Sophie with an eye basically saying that exact same thing to Steven. She goes, oh, we're even Stevens. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry that you wrote down my name. And then in a confessional, she's like, no, that pissed me off. But you see that she didn't, when the plan turned away from Steven, she wasn't dead set on Steven. She said, yeah, all right, that's crazy. She was able to roll with those punches, because I think it's, again, I think she forgave in the moment, but she won't forget. And so when she needs to go for Steven, I think that she will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Like, next episode, she's in a confessional saying, I need to go after my own alliance. I think that's a red herring. I don't think that's going to happen. She's probably going to go right after Steven next episode, is what I imagine.
Yeah, let's talk about that. She did say, not only in the promo, but there's also a scene that is released where she's like, you know, I'm in this tight three, and in this tight three, like, I have to I know that I'm not going to be able to go to the end with them. I've got to do something. I've got to differentiate. So she wants to go out. She, in theory, wants to go after them. Could this be like a season 46 Kenzie saying she wants to go after Tiffany and then her changing her mind?
Yeah, it could be. Like, that's almost like, looking back, it's like, why'd they even keep that in? There's no it's, why was that even a thing? Yeah, maybe just to like build intrigue. Like, I think, like, bad prediction, I think next episode, I'm hoping not, knock on wood, is likely going to be not that interesting.
Really?
Just a hot take. We've had such good episodes for the last, the Shannon boot, I like Nate boot. Basically the Shannon boot up until present, I think has been a real turnaround for the season, like significant turnaround. And I think we're due for one slump episode, and then I think it's going to pick back up. That's my prediction.
Okay, well, here is an interesting quote or an interesting comment that I do think we need to bring up. Knowledge is power, can only be used up until final six. Now we're at seven, right? So that means only two more episodes where she could potentially use the knowledge is power. Do you think that she's never going to use the knowledge is power? Is she just going to let it not play?
It would be so. Let me preface this. I hate knowledge is power. They need to retire it and never bring it back for a million reasons. And we can talk about that after. But if she pulls Rizzo's idol at six, she convinces him to not play it, which should give it and just.
Jake, I think you're breaking up. Hold on one second.
Take it from him.
Can you hear me? We were losing you there for a second. I think you're jumping in and out.
Am I still jumping in and out?
Hello? Yeah. He might have to come back. Are you good? You're back.
How am I now?
You're back. You're back. But back. We didn't hear what you were saying about Sophie.
Yeah, I think if she takes their idol from Rizzo at six, I think like why not at that point? Like if Savannah and Rizzo are still in the game, I feel like they're much bigger targets than she is. Mm-hmm. And she can kind of turn up the heat at that point to kind of Alec Gabler herself up and come up out of the water and kind of hopefully be seen as potentially a threat at that point. So that she can hopefully stroll into a final tribal and, you know, have a lot of street cred coming from the worst tribe. She's like, look, I took some power from these guys, hopefully got one or two of them out before final tribal. And I think that would just, she should hold on to it to six. Cause right now it's just kind of like a shot in the dark. And like, I think she did bring it up this episode where she was unsure if she had Christina's idol. If you miss, I don't think it like is game ruining, but it is like, oh, you had the wrong idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if she said, oh, does Steven have an idol over Christina? And he's just like, nope, you know, you might lose like a couple of brownie points, but not that much. Like, I don't think you're going to recreate the Xander Liana thing where.
Iconic. Uh-oh. I think it's happened again. Because this time he's not even jumping out. He's just frozen. And it's a great freeze. It's a great still. He looked great. But I completely agree. I definitely think that, you know, you can't. Oh.
I'm on Wi-Fi now. I'm on Wi-Fi. Are we good?
Yeah, you're good. You were frozen in a position and everybody agrees. You looked great. You were frozen and you looked. It was a good frozen. It was not an ugly face you were making.
Nice. Thank God. But yeah, no. So I don't know where I was cut off, but I think that there's a lot of potential for Sophie to gain this at final six. Knowing where that idol is huge.
Yeah, I think that's so real. And I think, you know, you have to in Survivor know when to turn on your people and know when to stay steady with them. So, you know, for example, we got a Kenzie, you know, thinking about turning on her person and then not turning on her person. And then that ending up works for her. Right. But then we also have like a Gabby Pascuzzi who will turn on Christian and goes out right before Christian goes out. So it doesn't always work. So she has to know when it works. And I think you're totally right. When there's a public idol, why not hold on to the knowledge is power until the very end Because and then get some other threats out, get some other people out, and then near the end make that move where there's less time for people to turn the tables on you. At final six, you have fewer challenges, you have fewer people who are going to be able to turn those tables. You know what I mean? So I think you're totally right. I will disagree with you. I think that the next episode is going to be interesting because, and I think that, you know, you might have saw a little bit about what I think is happening in this next episode earlier. My crazy kind of off the wall hot take is I think that Sage is going to be so upset because we also see this in the next time on Survivor. Sage is incredibly upset. And the person that Sage is the most upset about or most upset with, it seems, is Yellow Sophie. And because Yellow Sophie is the person who got Juwan out, essentially, is the person who turned. And so I think that Sage is going to convince people to vote out Yellow Sophie if she doesn't get immunity. And I think that all of this talk that Sophie B is having about going after her alliance, I don't think it's going to be going after Savannah or Rizzo. I think that she's going to, in her mind, be like, all right, this alliance actually includes Sophie now. And so I think in her mind, going after Sophie is going to be cutting one of her numbers, is going to be going after somebody, but she's able to convince other people about it because she was in the middle. Does that make sense? That's kind of my like crazy off the wall theory.
If Blue Sophie picks up Sage, Christina, and Steven and takes out Sophie, Yellow Sophie, that would be really cool.
That's my
I love Yellow Sophie.
That's my crazy theory. That is my crazy theory. And I also, in a part of this theory, I think that Sage wins immunity. Which, okay, again, Sage would be crazy.
And that puts Blue Sophie in a really good spot going into the final six. She gets to steal Rizzo's idol. And then I'd imagine, you know, there's a good decoy, probably Steven is still there, you know, as backup, probably fodder for Savannah and Rizzo if they were to somehow loop in Sage or get Christina in anyway.
Yeah. I think it would be crazy. I don't know that it's going to happen. I like to have kind of these crazy theories just because if they're right, it would be wild. And if they're wrong, it's like, it was crazy. Who cares? But I think that there's something to this. And I think that Sage does feel like she's very upset when Juwan leaves. She's crying. Juwan and Sage are, you know, hugging for a long time. And I actually have here the description of the next episode. Ooh, so the next episode is called Cherry on Top. Revenge is a dish best served cold when one castaway tries to get back at the person who eliminated their day one. One castaway's journey becomes a race against Mother Nature to outrun the tides. Then a new version of a familiar challenge stands between castaways and the immunity necklace on Survivor Wednesday, December 3rd. So it seems like there's a journey where you maybe have to like look in the water. That seems like one thing. But the revenge is a dish best served cold. That makes me think that Sage has something to do with this boot.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of Sage, regardless of what happens. Like, we're going to see a lot of Sage in the episode, like, for sure. You know, you get in an argument with someone, they're going to show you a side of that. I feel like this is a big moment. This is a big moment for Sage where, you know, have the argument. It looks like it happens at night, this argument. So hopefully, hopefully not that bad of a moment. Have your bad moment at night. Wake up the next day. Yo, my bad. I was a little upset. Whatever. And I do feel like, you know, a good players, which I think there's a lot of good players in this game, will be able to be like, all right, you're right. No, it's good. No problem. We're hungry. This is tough. Like, don't worry about it. You know? She's really going to have to reestablish her footing. I think she's in a tough spot right now in terms of having any kind of traction in the game. Because I do feel like in the pair, it felt like though Juwan made some missteps, Juwan was the person who really went out and did a lot of work in terms of like going and flipping people to vote certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Sage has a winner? It would be able to, if sitting at final three, win season 49. Does she have a good enough story? Do you think that she has that at this point in the game?
I think the right people have to be sitting on the jury. Like, I think if Savannah and Rizzo are both sitting on the jury, if she got into that kind of position and was like, I realized I was on the bottom. I knew Shannon was a problem. Jawan was going to be the vote. Saved Jawan. I realized we were on the bottom of a four. Was able to infiltrate two other groups of people. I feel like there is a way that she can get to the end and get votes. I think if you put Sage versus, I mean, there's so much stuff that happens in like final seven to final tribal that like you can make up a lot of ground. I really believe that.
Yeah, there are only three episodes left, but there's still a lot of game to play.
I do think there's a path for her. Like, I don't think she's drawing dead. I think, obviously, after Jawan going home, that's a really tough spot. But also, to Sage's benefit, it seems like since Jawan was the person who was doing the outreach, Sage was always going to have Jawan leave at some point. So in this kind of way, it kind of helps her that she didn't have to get him out. Like, I think in my season, like, everyone knew Drew and Austin was a pair, but it felt like, at least to me, that Drew was the person who went out and kind of, like, shored up alliances with people who are outside, shored up relationships with people who are outside of the Reba Four in terms of that duo, right? So I think, you know, her Drew needed to leave in that circumstance, at least, you know, in my perspective. But so hopefully she can take that and kind of run with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, they did have such a good relationship where she is might just be hurt and that. I hope she's able to see that waking up the next day.
Yeah.
And we've only seen a 15-second clip of the next episode.
I know. I'm very excited to see how it all turns out and how it all goes down. I do also want to talk about another big moment. Now, this was from the episode 10, but it's a big moment, and then I want to talk about it. Christina at that reward challenge. You know, we had this very, very big moment from her. Not only, I mean, there was a lot leading up to it. She says, you know, even before that, she's on a low. You know, she really misses her mom. She doesn't want to be there. She even said that out loud to Steven. And then going to a reward challenge, already feeling this way, she has a really, really emotional moment. And she talks about how she misses her mom. And, you know, she's not somebody that she can't even, like, not only does she miss her because she's on Survivor, but she's just not here anymore. And we get a lot of, you know, this talk about transformation. Jeff, you know, talks about transformation. Is this something you were out there? I know you have high highs and low lows on Survivor. Did you go through something similar? Because you have to, you know, have this game the way, you know, you have to play the game, but you're also a human being. You also have, you know, these real emotions. How do you wrestle with that?
It is like a life-changing experience. It is like really cool. I thought the moment for Christina was beautiful. My only critique here is going to kind of come to Jeff. And like, we all know if you do it, and like, if you listen to any podcast that people do, that it is like a huge experience for people who actually do it. I wish Jeff didn't sell it as the experience. You're going to get the experience if you're out there, regardless of what happens. I do wish he kind of like made it more competitive in that sense. That's just a Jeff thing. But in terms of Christina, it really spoke to me when Christina said, I'm trying to be grateful, but this really sucks right now. And like that's okay, right? And that's, you know, to be expected. And that's something that spoke, because there's a lot of tough moments out there, no doubt, when you go out there. And, you know, even after with like everything airing and everything like that. But for her to, you know, be able to vocalize that, and like this, like my season, like there's a scene of me and Drew, and Drew's like, oh, this sucks. Like, we're not eating food. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not eating food on Survivor. And it's like made as a joke, be grateful for the experience. And you should be grateful for the experience. And like, I appreciate, and Drew was grateful for the experience too. That was just funny. But Christina going, damn, I want to be thankful for this experience, but this pot is really hot. This pot really sucks. I think is like super fair. And that really made, and obviously the stuff with her mom was like, really powerful, and like, just at least to me personally, it really spoke with you want to be grateful, but it's hot. It's something that's out there, no doubt. And I think that I really appreciated Christina verbalizing that feeling, because I think that's a feeling that a lot of people feel with the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I felt the same thing about Jeff. Like, I am of, I like Jeff. I still think he's good. And I know that people do not agree with me on that. But I don't love the pushing the transformation of it all. Because I think that that's something that should be unsaid. That should be an unspoken kind of, we know this happens, but show us, don't tell us, is kind of how I felt in that moment. I don't know, in that moment I wanted to be with Christina. I wanted to experience that moment. I wanted to sympathize and empathize with her in that moment. And then the Jeff saying, like, this is Survivor, you go through a transformation, it almost made it, for me in that moment, made me be like, but this is Christina's moment. I know everyone goes through a transformation on Survivor, but this moment right now is for Christina. I didn't really need it to be brought into the world of Survivor. Everybody goes through a transformation. I wanted it to be there with Christina.
Yeah, it almost made it feel like mechanical, and it, like, where it was like, with Jeff saying that, he's kind of like, well, yeah, of course it happens. It's like, yeah, but let her have her thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, well, yeah, no shit, Christina's going through a transformation out here. Versus, like, I don't know, like, if you don't say it, like, and not everyone's going to get an arc like this, but, like, you think of, like, an arc like David Wright. Like, we saw him transform rather than, and, you know, Jess says at the end, after he gets voted, like, as he's getting voted out, or in his final words, like, this was a true transformation. You saw David say it in his confessionals. I'm trying to think, like, you could see it with, like, Ceri had those confessionals. I'm trying to think of, like, arcs where people were, like, changed, even, like, shorter arcs we definitely saw through, like, you know, someone leaving the halfway point. But, like, they happen, and they don't need to be, this is what happens. Like, I have no problem if Jeff goes on the podcast and says, yeah, this is a frequent thing that happens out there. Like, yeah, you go out, you will get that experience. But I think in terms of, like, I think Jeff is the best person out there in terms of hosting these shows, but any critiques I have of him are really minor. He really does care about the show, but yeah, there's minor critiques, but I wish we did kind of focus on, let's go win $1 million.
Exactly.
Not saying Christina shouldn't have her moment, show the Christina moment, but I don't think Jeff necessarily had to narrate that for the audience.
Yeah. Now I have a couple more questions about this reward right here. My number one is, why aren't they showing the schoolyard pics? Do you think that is, 'cause I think that would be a 20-second long thing. Every reward since, I think, in the last, you know, three episodes has been a schoolyard pick, and either we're getting it as a secret scene afterwards, or Jeff is just saying, we did a schoolyard pick and Soph was the whatever. Why can't they show us?
I don't know. It's really weird. Like, I'm trying to think my season. I don't think we did a schoolyard pick ever. Like, it was, that's really good. They should be doing schoolyard.
Yes,
picks.
They should.
They should do it every single time. I don't think they should show it every time. I think it should always at least be in a secret scene. But, like, yeah, that naturally creates conflict.
Yep.
That's like, you know, as old as, like, you know, any kind of school, you know, like people picking teams. And they got to show it. It makes me think that it didn't, like, impact the episode. I'm fine with them not showing it if it doesn't impact the episode, but I would encourage them to continue doing schoolyard picks. And something else I want to say about the challenges – Kerhoff is killing it this episode. He mixed it up. We had some different elements. I like when Jeff says there's a new element, because I go, it's new. And he's like, it's new. And I'm like, oh, awesome. That's cool. And I think he's had a couple of those this season where I think a lot of the new era has become repetitive in some ways. And I think that's a sentiment that a lot of people hold. But Kerhoff is bringing it this season. And you got to give him props for that.
Yeah, I agree. I do wish, and this is somebody else brought this up, and I was like, yes, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I was like, yes. I do wish some of these rewards would be individual, and then you have to choose who goes on the reward. I feel like we haven't seen that in a while. And when somebody said, I forget who said that, but somebody said that, and I was like, yes, I totally agree. Because I think we either do a schoolyard pick, or you show us who goes on you choose the reward. And, you know, Jeff goes, all right, choose one person. I'll give you one more person. You know, that very classic Jeff moment.
Yeah.
I think that rewards are there not only to reward the players and give them food and give them kind of a moment, right? But they're also there to expose the game mechanics, the in-game relationships. They're there to expose something. So let it expose that thing, right?
Yes. I agree. You want to use any kind of advantage, like even if it's like freaking peanut butter sandwiches, who cares? Like let it peel back the relationships. Mm-hmm. Something, you know what? Another thing that I saw today, similar to this, the rights negotiation. Can we talk about the rights negotiation?
Yes. Yes, we can.
I like the rights negotiation. I like that.
Did you have the rights negotiation?
We did. We were okay. The season where Jeff stabbed the bag.
The knife, right.
Yeah, and it just started pouring. I think, Drew, this is my third time mentioning Drew Basile in this podcast. Drew,
you're obsessed with Drew.
He's the best. But Jeopardy champ, he immediately steps out and people like leave immediately. So I think we got a lot more rice than maybe production anticipated. But
because they didn't do the rice negotiation, right? So they just were like, we're not doing it, we've got 7 days left. Rizzo even himself said, like, I only have one chance in life to have a 1 in 8 shot to become a millionaire. I can have rice in 7 days. So yes. Is the rice negotiation dead?
It should not be. I don't think they need it every season. Like, they can do it every other season. Mm-hmm. I think that I loved Rizzo saying, you know what, I'll be here in 7 days, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, Survivor's not going to let you die, guys. That would be really bad for the show if they
so
let
much
you die.
Paperwork. That'd be so much paperwork.
All the PI you got to do if someone actually dies, you're going to be fine. Like, Rizzo is right. The one... This brought me to my job for a sec, where what Jawan says, can we have half a bag for, what do you say, two people?
Yeah.
Half a bag for two people. And Jeff goes, no, I don't know. Like, maybe. And then, like, Savannah jumps in. It's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. And Jawan jumps back in. He's like, quarter of a bag. Savannah goes, Jawan, stop talking. Like, no, let him counter first. Let him counter. Stop talking. You know? Best legal advice you can get, shut the F up.
Yeah.
But that brought me my job. But what I didn't like about the whole thing was Jeff was like someone said something, like maybe it was Savannah. Savannah said something and was like, hey, let's negotiate. And Jeff's like, you know what? Guys, don't do it. If you want to tough it out. It's like, why are we stopping this? It was kind of like what Savannah just did to Jawan. I wanted to do to Jeff. I was like, Jeff, why are we stopping this? If they're gonna have a debate, if they wanna give up immunity, let them give up immunity. What are we doing?
That was so crazy. I do think that doing a rights negotiation this late in the game is weird. There are seven people left in the game. No, I think eight people left in the game. 7 days left in the game. Right? Like, why are we doing a rights negotiation
at
this point?
It's too late.
It's
too
late.
Do it final 10.
You know, Ryan. So if you don't know, Ryan is my partner, everybody. Ryan came up with his idea is do rights negotiation pre-merge, whether still tribes, and say, you know, the person who gives me the most people who are willing to sit out of the challenge, kind of like, you know, when you bid for construction, like construction bids, right? The lowest, you know, lowest construction bid is the one that the city will take. So do that and be like a bidding, say, okay, we will sit out four people. We will sit out three people. And so a tribe will get rice, but they're also not going to be as well equipped to do the challenge. So it's like,
have a blind bid.
Kind
blind
of.
Bid,
yeah.
Whoever says lowest.
Yeah.
Then flip a coin for the two people who have the.
Yeah. And so that way, it's when you have 20 days left in the game, when you have 25 days left in the game or 22 days left in the game, that is a significant amount of time.
Yes.
And rice is something that will actively help you for 22 days. And who knows, maybe there's a swap, maybe there's a whatever else. But I feel like that is when players are going to be willing to do that.
I think it's funny if you do it on – all right, two things. I think it's funny if you do it on day five too, because like that's when I think people start to like – that's when people start to turn in terms of like, okay, this is Survivor. This is how it feels to like actually be starving. This is what's like, this is longer than 3 days. This is actually difficult in terms of like the hunger and that. So I think it needs to be like episode 2 or episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can only do it with two tribes. I think if you do it with three tribes, if you did it episode two or episode three, I don't like game mechanics where it just allows people to steamroll. And I think that it would be really easy if it's like, oh, we're an alliance of four and it's a tribe of six and there's two people, they're definitely out. We sit out five, six people. Who
Yeah.
cares? You know, we could sit out four people. And it's just like that,
It has to be like a sweet spot.
yeah. Or if you like say everyone has to agree, you
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
everyone has to agree. It's not like oh, the tribe votes, you
Yeah.
know, which I think would make it better.
Yeah, I really hope that like the rights negotiation, I think there's something interesting here, and I think it just has to be at the right time, and this season it just wasn't at the right time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of the medevac. I don't know if there are other reasons where it was maybe supposed to be when there were nine people left in the game or whatever else, but I just really hope that they rework it because I think there's something interesting here. I think there's a way to make a compelling television and be maybe throw players off, but I just
Yeah.
it can't be at Final Eight.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
It's too late. All right, so I do have a question. We see Sophie S win the challenge. She, puzzle. She's a puzzle queen, right? I think that if Sophie was like, had a 20-minute, everyone else had a 20-minute head start, and Sophie, had to do all of that and then do the puzzle. I still think she would have won. She's that good at puzzles. She is like, boom, 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 boom. But I do like. Do you think that Sophie made the right choice here with going with Jawan instead of Savannah? Because really, she was the reason, right?
I'm sorry, going with Juwan and Savannah in terms of.
Voting out Juwan instead of Savannah. Like, because
Yeah.
she was that person who really made that happen. So, do you think that she made
Yeah.
the right choice here?
I think Yellow Sophie is in a really tough spot because, like, obviously that three is tight and she has more trust with them because I think there's so much already bridges burned with that other side. Like, I think after the MC vote, it's just like, what do you do? In theory, there's probably more wiggle room with her going with like Jawan, Sage, Steven, and Christina versus that hard block of three. Versus you're like fifth on a five. You're fifth on a five. Yeah, you can decide it at the middle. You know, if you get out, you know, they don't know about all the firepower, but like Rizzo, Sophie, and Savannah, and then you're sitting in the middle at five. Like, it kind of feels like just numerically, that's a better spot. You know, even though she may feel personally closer to the three of them. And that just shows you how powerful the social game is.
Yeah, very much. And I also think that, I think that one of the main reasons why Sophie ended up going with the three is because Savannah told her about the extra vote. Because
Yeah.
even if Sophie decided that she wanted to go with Juwan, Sage, and them, like it, I correct me if I'm wrong, it still would have been 4-4. Right? No, I guess it would have been 4-5, but it's like, you've got that when you've got an extra vote, like I feel like that gives you just that little bit of firepower where you're like, well, I'd
Yeah.
rather go with the guarantee than go with the maybe.
All like I feel like if she did go with Jawan, Sage, Steven, and Christina, it's almost like close to a Sarah Lucina type run that she has to do at this point. Like it would feel very Sarah Lucina if she flipped at that point. Which looking at it, I mean you think she's gone next episode, right?
I kind of do, but I
So
have,
she made the wrong move, in your opinion.
in my opinion, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of think she did. It was just unfortunate that like it's almost she's tight with the wrong people right now.
I don't know, but I think that she can make it up. I just think that Sage.
Yeah.
I think that Sage is, if when she's upset, I think she's upset. When she is like, when she's going after you, I think that there's nothing that's going to be able to stop Sage. She was in the military, but she also is a social worker now. Like, I think that she is a driven person. Not that everybody on Survivor, like, you're driven, right? But I think that Sage is just going to be like a steamroller, like ready to go, going after her victim. And I think this week is going to be Sophie.
Is going to be Sophie.
I don't know. We'll
But
see.
is that Sage's best move?
I don't
Like,
think
what's
it
Sage's
is.
best move? Who's Sage? Who should Sage get out? Like, who should she target next week? Savannah, right?
Yeah, I think she would still have to try to go after Savannah because I feel like you got to go for broke here. And I think that, you keep trying to go after Savannah, you got to either continue trying or just be okay with that be her argument at Final Tribal Council, being like, you guys kept trying to go after me and you never could. And now I'm here, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to keep going unless, or you're giving Savannah a lot of ammo for her Final Tribal Council speech.
Yeah.
I think.
I agree. I agree.
Now, quick question. Final or at Tribal Council, right? Crazy Tribal Council. We had Savannah acting like she had no idea what was going on when Juwan was saying, basically spelling out that he was going to vote for Savannah. We had Christina playing her idol for Steven. We had Rizzo playing his idol for for Savannah, and then it wasn't actually an idol, and then it ended up being Juwan. What were your thoughts after that Tribal Council?
Look, I've never been on a Survivor jury, but if I was on a jury, I would love what, and I talked to some other people, and I talked to a couple people who were like, I don't like what Rizzo did. Like, I would be so annoyed. I liked it. I
I
would,
loved
if
it.
I was, if I was on, if I was like in Alex's spot, or even if I was like still in the game, like, I think if you're Juwan, maybe you can be butthurt at that point. Like, totally. You're going home on that. But like, I just kind of be like, dude, that's sick, man. Like, why not? It's fun. Does he have an idol now? Does he not? Like, who knows? You know, it's kind of like, oh man, I would love to see Rizzo go back next week and be like, that's just a bummer, man. I thought it was real. Like, that means Shannon planted a fake, or Nate, that slimy dog, he planted an idol, and we must have gotten him out with a real one, or like whatever. You know what I mean? There's so much more room that he has to play with it now, and it's just. It's like he's putting on a fucking puppet show this whole time with this idol. And I love it. I love the Savannah thing. I don't know. Like, and then you see Juwan like kind of go, yeah, it was me. And then it's actually him. Like, even if you're Juwan, you can't be that mad about it. You know what I mean? It's like you got him, you got you. You can be disappointed in going home, but in terms of like the smack talk and the joking around like that, I think you gotta let that fly. And I don't know. Part of my thing would be like, if this isn't a primary voting thing for me, if I was ever on a jury, but yeah, I'm giving some brownie points to people who had fun with it. You know, like if someone just absolutely dominated the game and someone made a couple jokes, like I'm not voting for the person with the jokes. But like, if it's like 50-50 for me, yeah, if someone doing something like that, that's gonna put me over the edge.
I agree. Now, is that, do you think that was just a performance or was there a tactic behind it? Was he trying to read if it was gonna be Savannah, or what do you think? Like, was he trying to read Sophie with an ease, like, reaction
Yeah,
to that, or?
I think there was 1,000% a tactic to it. Like, why not? Like, you're gonna take information in at any point, and like Rizzo's smart, he knows that. Like, you're gonna take in information as much as you can, no doubt. Like, I even in taking in the information, I think he knew he was good in all circumstances. Just Yellow Sophie sharing that level of information, I think, is very, very assuring. For him, and I think he said that in confessional as well. So it's like, why not take in the information? Like, and he probably knew that he wasn't gonna have to play the idol, the real idol on Savannah, but like, yeah, still look around, double check, you know?
All right, so I actually an idea, a theory, another crazy theory popped into my head, and I want to run it by you. Okay, so you know how everyone is like trying to figure out why Sophie with an E is getting a bad edit.
Yeah.
People are like, she's giving us so much like content. She's so much fun. You even said earlier in the podcast that like on another season, she would be, the star, right?
Absolutely.
I have a theory on your season. When Jay Maya got voted out because of the shot in the dark, I was like, okay, this explains her edit because they wanted us to be happy that the shot in the dark hit, not sad that Jay was going, right? So they were like under editing her so that kind of like gate makes
Right.
it so that the audience is excited, not sad.
Right.
Hear me out. What if this next week, Sophie B uses her knowledge as power, takes an idol from takes the idol from Rizzo, let's just say, or maybe they hide the idol, maybe they hide Christina's idol, she takes that idol, whatever, And the idol, and she plays an idol on, let's say, Savannah, right? Everyone's trying to go after Savannah. So what if, you know, she plays an idol on Savannah, and then Sophie with an S, Sophie S, is the one who goes out because of a knowledge is power play. And yeah. So they want us to be happy the knowledge is power hit and the idol worked and not sad that Sophie S is gone. What do we think about that? Yeah, I literally just had this idea 5 minutes ago.
No, I think that's a really good argument. I mean, I think it could definitely be there just being two Sophies and Blue Sophie went to more tribals. But I think that's a really good argument just because knowledge of power is controversial, I think. And if people say it's not, I'm making it controversial, so now it is. And that would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense. She's just been so good in, like, tribals and, like, when she's speaking, like, in confessionals, I'm like, shit, I really like what she has to say. Can we, looking back, it's like, she probably had a million comments, like the fruit comment, being like, do we have to get fruit, man? Come on. Like, she probably had a million things like those. Where were they, though?
Where
like,
were they? Where Give were us they? The Sophie S. edit.
Go on, go on to the editing room floor and pick that shit back up and give it to us. Like,
give me it. Yeah, no,
because she also gave it to y'all. Players
are,
did.
We know she did, and players are actively saying in their exit press, and I've heard them say otherwise, like outside, that they're like, yeah, Sophie S was kind of rubbing people the wrong way because of her Matt chat, because she says, like, she's blunt and she says what she is thinking, and we need that on Survivor, and I want to see it. Give it to me.
If, like, it almost, like, I don't know, right? I'm just saying. If there was another Game Changers like season, and you're going to invite a Hallie Ford or a Sierra Dawn Thomas, give me Sophie S.
Yep.
If you're going to take someone who didn't get the best at it or didn't get that much, I know you got that stuff on the editing room floor. We know it's there. We know it's there. You know it's there. Let's see it.
Let's see it. I totally agree. Because I do actually, I think that we're missing out. We're missing out on her. And I don't think that's fair to us or to her. Yep. But I think all of this to say, I'm just kind of worried for her in this next episode. I don't know if you could tell from the minute one in this podcast, I was like, so what do you think about Sophie going home? And now I'm like worried for her.
Can we start the Sophie, is it Sophie Segretti, right?
Yeah.
Can we be Sophie Segretti truthers? Like, truthers doesn't mean she won, right? Like, I don't think she wins. But no, can we be, like, truthers? Like, is it Sophie Segretti fan club?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, we're Sophie Segretti truthers.
I love
that. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. I love that. I think that this episode had a lot for us to sink our teeth into. And I think it's setting us up for a really, I hope, an interesting episode next week or tomorrow, actually. I think that you're probably right. It may be, I mean, it might not be the most interesting, but I think that there's so many things in play and we're getting to the end. People are going to, when you were, 7 days to the end, you were obviously thinking not only how can I get to final tribal council, but how can I also make moves to, set myself up for success? That's something on your mind 7 days left, right?
It's totally. And like me being at the absolute bottom, it's easy to know that I needed some things to move at that time. It's tougher to know you have to make those moves if you're not. If there's someone to your left that you're like, well, they're lower on the totem pole than me, it's hard to know to make those moves. And we haven't really seen like a hierarchy of like, we know we it feels like we more have like, I don't want to say like it almost feels like voting blocky, right? It almost, this season feels very voting blocky. It's like you have that Hina group, right? You have Christina and Steven, and you have, you had Sage and Jawan, and then you have the triumvirate, the powerful triumvirate. And then you kind of have Sophie Segretti like moving around in the middle. Now you have kind of Sage moving around, but there's still these two groups, this three and this two. It feels voting blocky to me rather than like hierarchical in terms of like a Reba 4 versus like Bella.
I think you're totally right. Cause we also saw, Sage getting out and Uli, Sage, Steven, and I think it was, who was the other one? And Jawan getting out Shannon. Yep. Right. But then they go over and turn on the rest of the Ulis to get out Nate. And then, I just feel like, and then MC is a Hina. And I think that the way this season has been going, it's not like here we go. And then, because even the people that we see on top, like the trio, they're not, they haven't really been on top. They were blindsided at the merge, and then they've had to kind of weasel their way to this point with an idol and Savannah winning immunities. They got lucky because they were not actually in the power position. So it's, which is, I think, also good, because I think it's also giving them more if they sit at final three, or, you know, some, two of them sit at final triple council, or one, they have kind of an underdog story, but also they were power players. So right. It's like they get to have that underdog story, but also they get to be seen as power players. So it's like this very rare, I kind of think, position to be in Survivor.
Yeah, it's a real, like, I think Jeff said this before the season started. The merge gets interesting, guys. Don't worry, the merge gets, it really is interesting.
He was
like,
right.
It's a good spot to be in.
He was right. Okay, I have a comment here that I think is interesting that I want to ask your opinion about. Mm-hmm. So Daryl Seymour says, Sam from 47 made a good point about Steven on Tyson's podcast. He said that if Steven gets to the end, he will get the Kenzie win, the social game win. Do you think that this jury is really going to be a jury that bases their vote based on like the social aspect of the game? Do you think that Steven could win that? Do you disagree with Sam's take?
I think anyone sitting next to Charlie Davis is, you know, your strategic god right there, right? Charlie Davis, we can give that to my friend there. And I don't want to discount. I see what Sam's saying in terms of, you know, Kenzie definitely being a, she won due to her social game, 1,000%, no doubt. I feel like Steven has been on the right side of early Hina. He got a good swap the first time. The second swap, we can give him credit on that, getting through that, and Shannon going home. I think in terms of the Nate vote, great. In terms of then the MC he wasn't there for, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of a better point than maybe I originally thought, because he just hasn't been as much tribal councils as other people.
But his name has also been in people's mouths. People keep bringing up, like, we got to get Steven out. And I think that's because he gets along with everybody. They're willing to sit on, you know, a bench and make songs, and people like talking to him and all of this stuff. And he did win a challenge. I know it was a challenge that really, I mean, if you look at it, Savannah really won it. But, you know, so there is, I think that he has something to it. And he's got friends over there. MC would probably vote for him. I think that Christina would probably vote for him. You know, there are people who would vote for him because of their alliances. But I don't know that he has... Does he have a cheerleader that Kenzie had? Tiffany was Kenzie's cheerleader. Would Christina be that kind of same relationship if she was on the jury? I don't know if she would be as vocal with her support. Do you know what I mean? And I think that really helped Kenzie.
What about Alex?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Alex is going to be someone who you really want to, like, knowing Alex's background and, like, politics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think having Alex be a vocal person, and like also seeing Alex's exit interviews as well. I didn't listen to all of them, but I think he had something that was like, taking out me was a bad move. So I think if Steven can get to the end and like pull off at least one or two moves here in the home stretch, I think Alex would be a very vocal person for him and a good vocal person to have.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's interesting. Who do you think, I guess, right now has the best shot sitting, you know, next to any combination of people to take that win home? Do you think it's Steven? Do you think it's Savannah? Like, who do you think is somebody that is really setting themselves up, like, well for that win?
I think Savannah and Steven, I think, would be, seem to be the biggest threats to me on paper. I think how people perceive, like, the Rizzo idol shenanigans, like, it's funny, but are people going to give it the same amount of, like, respect and, like, love that I do sitting at home on my couch?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that just remains to be seen, you know? I think also one of the things that I do worry about with Rizzo and, you know, is that is he the youngest guy out there right now?
Yeah, he is the youngest person. He's 25.
The youngest person out there.
24.
Like, I think there's always, like, a little – thing you need to overcome in terms of people like, oh, they're 25. You know what I mean? Especially when you do have all these people. Like, are they going to look down on him in that way? And they might not, but we've seen that before. And it's a little, it's something that could happen. I don't know if it is.
Yeah. I think that there's also something to think about with, like, why is he still in the game with an idol? And I'm not necessarily saying that it is because people don't perceive him as a threat. But I think that if it was Savannah with a public idol, I don't think that that public idol would be in the game anymore, or I don't think Savannah would be in the game anymore. And so, and I think that we're seeing, I think it almost feels in a way like Carolyn, where we are getting to see a lot of Rizzo's game because he's telling us his game in confessionals. He's telling us his whole thought process. But out there on the island, you're trying to keep your cards as close to your chest as possible. And if you do that too well, you get to the final tribal council, are people going to be like, this guy didn't really, you know, was just maybe around and doing the things that Savannah was doing, all of this stuff. And so I worry that maybe he just is not seen as big of a threat as we might see him because we're seeing his whole game.
I think the right, I thought, like, I hope he's not getting Xandered.
Yeah, I hope he's not
getting Xandered. You know what I mean? Xandered, I hope he's not. And I love Rizzo. I love Xander. I hope that doesn't. And it might not be happening, but it's always something, like, especially where there's, like, someone with an idol, they are a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
Are they getting Xandered in terms of edit? You know, I hope not. I don't think so, but that is, like, if this happens, I wouldn't be like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have one last point that I want to bring up that I should have brought up earlier, but I forgot about it. But I brought up the three boys on a bench and I went, oh, right. Did you see the secret scene of the Sophies going through Christina's bag?
Yes, I did.
Why, in your professional expert opinion, why was that left out? Are you fine with it being left out of the edit? Is it just because they wanted to blindside us? Please make it make sense to me.
Why was this not in the edit? why in the world? Who did it? The Sophies?
The Sophies.
They hate yellow soapy this much. Guys, like, this is not okay.
And this is, I mean, we heard about it because, so first of all, Sophie tweeted about it. Sophie with an I tweeted about it. She said, we actually looked through Christina's bag. Then the next morning, a secret scene drops of them looking through Savannah's bag, or through Christina's bag, which then, to me, makes me believe that they're not going to show it in the next episode. Typically, if they drop it as a secret scene, it's not going to be shown in the episode. It's going to just be shown on YouTube in a secret scene. And we see them, and this is the thing that turned the vote away from Steven onto Juwan. This is, like, such crucial information. What is going on?
Don't get it. I don't get it. Like, it would have made so much. It's baffling to me.
Like, baffling. How cool. And I think that they wanted, I could see them being like, we want this to be a blindside. We want the viewers to be blindsided. So we're going to leave out this information. And I get that. I do get that urge, but then leave it, put it in. When we get the first Juwan thing, show us a flashback of them going through a bag or something to explain it to us, because I think it's so important.
And you know, there's some good confessional out there of Blue Sophie being like, I was sneaky before with, like, Jeremiah and Alex going through the woods, like, spying on them. But she has a good confessional on the cutting room floor somewhere being like, now we don't know what we're going to do, but I'm getting my sneak on, like, whatever. It would have been great. I don't get it.
I don't get it. As we've said many times, this episode, justice for Yellow Sophie. Maybe one day it'll make sense, but today is not that day. Today is not that day.
Get rid of boys on a bench.
Yeah, literally?
Get rid of boys on a bench.
Why is boys on a bench not an extra scene?
Why was boys on the bench in there over the fucking bag search?
Yep. Boys on a bench, secret scene. I guess secret scene.
Would have been a great secret scene.
All over it.
Love the content, boys.
What is going on? Yeah. So I'm really glad that we can see eye to eye on this, because when I saw this, my jaw actively dropped. I was like, that's actually crazy. What is going on?
I was just like,
But all in all, it's still a great episode. That's how, you know, Survivor fans are so funny. I can complain about a great episode, but I will also be happy about it.
Oh, you know what I loved? I didn't bring this up yet. Juwan taking Rizzo's torch.
Oh my gosh.
I love how we hadn't seen that for like 5 or 6 episodes and then they came out. Like, that was great. That was
now,
great.
Should Rizzo be out of the game now? Because if his torch was snuffed, does that mean Juwan? Did Juwan find a hack? Is he back in the game? He figured out how to hack the system and he's back in?
Yeah, of course. Juwan's back in. You got Rizzo's torch snuffed. What are you talking about?
That's the game.
It's funny. Just so people know, like, people's initials are on the torches. So it's like they're not all red torches are the same. And I think the beads are different on some of them.
So good. Juwan, I love you. Juwan was my winner pick. Juwan was my preseason winner pick.
I think that was a good pick.
So I'm sad. I'm very sad to see him go. But he had a great exit. Very memorable episode. Memorable exit yes. from Juwan. So, you know, I think all in all, I liked his arc. I liked Juwan's arc.
I liked his arc. I think he's an interesting player. Like, he wasn't a perfect player, but, like, there was points where he played very well. And some of the mistakes, like, I think were interesting to watch as well. Like, mm-hmm. He was a very interesting game player.
I agree. Well, Jake, is there anything in this episode that we haven't talked about that you wanted to make sure we hit upon before we get to the coveted alley-oop award?
No, I said the Juwan with the torch thing. That's really it.
I think we've hit most of the things that I wanted to talk about. And again, great episode. And I think that there are some contenders for the alley-oop award here. We only have a couple of episodes left, so you know, you don't really have to set yourself up too crazily. But for those who don't know, the alley-oop award is the most coveted award that any Survivor player really wants to get. And it's the award where we give the person that we think is setting themselves up for the best for this next episode. I've got a couple of contenders. I've got some people that I don't think are going to be good for it. But who do you think? Who is somebody that's sticking out to you that is setting themselves up well?
I got to give it to Rizzo just because now people, I think, are going to go back to camp and be like, does he have an idol? Does he not have an idol? Like, I hope he plays up that narrative. I don't know if he will, but I hope he does.
Yeah, I think it has to go to Rizzo, too. I could also see an argument for Savannah because she did play that extra vote. And so I think that she's a little less scary to her own ally, you know, her own alliance now. And so I feel like, you know, her power in theory is on paper is kind of not as big or target's not as big, maybe. But I do think it's got to be Rizzo. Because again, he's in a good spot. He's in a good alliance. He also is giving a performance to the jury, which is important. But then also, you know, people are now wondering, is it not? So yeah, I think it has to be Rizzo. So congrats to Rizzo.
Snaps to Riz. R-I-Z-G-O-D.
Yep.
Alley-oop, baby.
Alley-oop. Congratulations. Well, Jake, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me about episode 10 and previewing episode 11. Any other like predictions? Do you have a winner pick for the season? Who do you think is going home next? Anything that you think might happen before the end of the season?
You know, I know I said I didn't think she was going to win, but you know what? I think Yellow Sophie is going to win. I think this is going to be is part of the Yellow Sophie Truther Club.
Love.
I feel like we have to say that now.
You have
right?
to go
Especially
all in.
Since your winner pick went home.
I know.
Yellow Sophie now as well.
Even though I think that Yellow Sophie's going home next episode, I also think she's going to win. Both can Great. Be true. Both can be true.
Exactly.
Well, Jake, thank you so much for coming on and chatting about Survivor. Where can the people find you? Anything you want to plug here so that, you know, anything for you, anything for anybody else?
Not like Instagram, you know, I mean, Instagram, Twitter, I guess. I'm boring. I work and I occasionally show up on a podcast.
And I'm glad it's this one.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much, Jake, for joining. And everybody, a new episode of Tech Talks dropped today. We actually, Will and I got, we talked about who, after Jeff retires, who do we think is going to replace Jeff? So if you're not a patron of The Specialist, you should be, because Tech Talks drops every Tuesday. It's so much fun. As always, we've got a really fun week for you guys. So much coverage. My next week's guest is actually somebody you might not know who she is, but you know, you've probably heard about what she does. If you heard about Reality Bar, Maddie, who is the person who runs Reality Bar in LA, is going to be my guest next week. Reality Bar is so fun. If you live out in LA, you should go check it out. She does live watch parties for not just Survivor, but she does like the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, you know, Bachelorette, Big Brother, all of the shows. But she's going to be the guest next week, so it's going to be so much fun. But again, thank you all so much for listening, and thank you so much, Jake. Have a great
night. Thanks for having me. Have a great night.
Bye, everybody.